You found it. The best place for live, local, conservative talk in the morning. The Commute with Carlson. Stimulating, entertaining, and making a difference. Here's John Carlson on Talk Radio 570 KVI.
And then I looked out our front door, and it was like a movie. Houses were exploding, and the next thing I see is our neighbor's chimney coming into our front door.
That is one of the Oso mudslide survivors, 25-year-old mother of a five-month-old child. That's Amanda Scoriance. I had mentioned this as I sat in for John Carlson yesterday on Talk Radio 570 KVI, that she was going to hold a press conference, speak to the media for the first time at Harborview Hospital yesterday. That is a little bit of what she told reporters yesterday. Phil Vandervoort sitting in here on the Commute with Carlson. Good morning, everybody. And we're going to bring you a little bit more of Amanda Scoriance's survivor story from the Oso mudslide here in just a moment. And we're going to get to some $15 an hour minimum wage information here a little bit later in the hour. But I am joined by a former U.S. congressman who's gone from Southwest Washington up to Edmonds, Brian Baird. And Brian, thanks so much for coming in and being on the show with me all morning long.
Oh, it's really my pleasure. Thanks for the invitation.
Yeah, and we've had you on a couple of different times as a guest with John Carlson here between his previous show on Como News Radio, and then now that he's been on mornings here on Talk Radio 570 KVI. And it's always been great to get a little of your wisdom and your perspective, and that's what we kind of want to be able to bring to listeners this morning. And then tomorrow, Dino Rossi is going to be sitting in studio with me, and I'll be doing the same thing with Dino Rossi tomorrow.
Great.
So for, you know, your work in Congress, three terms, four terms?
Six.
Six terms in Congress. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
We've got so many key issues that I've been covering so far this week in John Carlson's absence, and some of these stories related to politics in Washington, D.C. Are going to be just getting bigger and bigger as we go up to the congressional midterm elections in November. So I'm going to be bringing up some of these issues like income inequality, as I just mentioned, the $15 an hour minimum wage, immigration reform you and I were talking about just before we turned on the mics, and equal pay. I spent some time talking about equal pay yesterday. I've been hearing about this issue of equal pay for several years, and I still can't make heads or tails of it. So we'll ask you about that. I was telling you a little bit about the Keystone Pipeline situation and the question I'm trying to get answered from Senator Murray's office, Senator Cantwell's office, if they are for it, against it, or undecided. And I'm still waiting for answers on that. If you want to hear some of my comments from yesterday's show, those are on KVI.com. You can hear the coverage I had of the Keystone Pipeline situation on yesterday's show. But now that I've got you in studio, you're in Edmonds. You're closer to the Oso mudslide than I certainly am in a geographic sense. Have your neighbors, what have you been talking about with your neighbors based on what we've been hearing about in the destruction and everything we've seen with the Oso mudslide?
Well, you know, first of all, everyone's heart goes out to the families who've lost loved ones and homes and to the whole community. I think the other thing that I hear a lot is a whole lot of people around our Puget Sound and Western Washington area have homes on hills. And there is real concern about not only, obviously, the immediate tragedy there, but if there were to be an earthquake at the wrong time when the soil was very damp, we could see a lot more of that. So there's a lot of questions for those of us who live near or on hills. I think it's a wake-up call and a something to keep our minds on.
And something that's on ComoNews.com, and I watched this story that Como 4 reporter Russ Bowen put together, but there is another house that is on the precipice of another landslide up above the North Fork of the Stillaguamish River. And that story is on ComoNews.com. I've got the printout of the story, and the people that live on this particular hillside, their backyard is crumbling down a ravine towards the North Fork of the Stillaguamish River. They have packed up all of their belongings. They don't know how much time they have left. I think there's about 60 feet of their backyard that's still grass, and they've ended up here in the last few days. And this, I thought, was a little on the strange side. In the last couple of days, Snohomish County officials have finally come out and, I guess, taken a closer look at the property and how it's falling. Their backyard is falling off this ravine. And this is a sort of a situation that you'd think, boy, maybe because of the response to the Oso mudslide, they just had other more important things to do. They couldn't get to it. But it does seem a little bit strange that after all this time, the officials are just getting out to take a look at this person's property.
Well, you know, when I lived in Southwest Washington and represented that area, the Aldercrest landslide, which was in the Kelso area, a very, very slow moving, literally on the order of a couple of inches a day.
Okay.
But your house isn't meant to move a couple inches a day.
Yeah.
And it basically dissolved and submerged about 200 homes, and people lost all their belongings. No lives lost, fortunately. But that kind of instable soil is a problem for us.
Yeah, a little bit later in the show, probably in the 7 o'clock hour, I've got a story that the Everett Herald put together, and it starts to coordinate all of these financial contributions that have come in for the relief effort and the support effort. And we're talking $4 million worth now, and it might even be more than that. So I'll try and pull out that Everett Herald story, and we could kind of put things in perspective with how much money is coming in and the tremendous amount of charitable giving that has happened as a result of the Oso mudslide. Well, let's get back to the story of mudslide survivor Amanda Scoriance. And Amanda's story, you may remember those first days after the mudslide happened. Her story and the story of her five-month-old son was one of the first that we heard about, and their rescue. So here's Como 4's Elisa Jaffe. And again, this is the young lady that survives, 25 years old, just had a baby boy here a couple of months ago. And this is Amanda Scoriance and Elisa Jaffe in Amanda Scoriance's hospital room.
Scoriance was home in Oso watching YouTube videos with her five-month-old son Duke when lights began blinking and she heard a horrible, violent rumbling that shook her core.
I held on to that baby like that was the only purpose that I had.
She shifted Duke from her hip to her arms as their home slid 600 feet.
I know that God was with us because as it was going, I cried out to him and I said, please save us.
When the earth finally stopped moving, Scoriance and her baby were cushioned by their broken couch and recliner. Debris fractured her arm, eye, and both legs.
Here I am trapped with my child in this debris, and I can't move, and I can't scream loud enough for help because we live in Oso.
Scoriance tried comforting Duke, who was turning blue.
And I would pat on his chest, and I'd say, stay with me, bud.
Amanda Scoriance there and her five-month-old son, now just 5 months. She is in Harborview Hospital. The five-month-old has been treated most recently at Children's Hospital, so she's not necessarily able to be in the same room as him all the time. But my understanding is that the five-month-old now in satisfactory condition, and we're going to tell you a little bit more about this connection, this young lady's incredible maternal instincts that you hear right there. To give you a little bit of a description of her physical condition, she has two broken legs, she has a broken arm that is bandaged and wrapped up, and she still has some pretty nasty bruising around her left eye. And that's all as a result of being crushed by this mud sliding into her home and wiping out her home. Here's a little bit more of Elisa Jaffe's story with the 25-year-old mudslide survivor.
Approaching sirens and screams offered hope. She handed a stranger her crying baby, whose skull fractured in the slide.
You know, he had half a mountain fall on him, and he got banged up, but he's doing better.
Rescuers used chainsaws to free a frightened Scoriance. Ty Siddharth feared he'd lost his family, but his partner's condition improves with her sons.
So amazing to hold him again.
Cards and flowers have poured in from around the world. Support is mind-boggling as the mudslide. Scoriance feels grateful and guilty.
Family's not making it, and us being blessed enough to have all three of us together.
Doctors say Scoriance might be able to go home this week, but where that is not clear.
Oso is home, but I'll never go back.
Elisa Jaffe, Como 4 News.
Wow, knowing that she's close to being released from the hospital, knowing that she does not have a home to go home to because of the Oso mudslide wiping that out. Phil Vandervoort in here on the commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI, joined by former congressman, now the president of Antioch University in Seattle, Brian Baird. And I hear tremendous self-awareness from this young lady that she's kind of, the term is survivor's guilt. And it's one of those things where you can't have that guilt. I don't want her to have that guilt, but I suppose it's there. But I think it is also something that she has this tremendous self-awareness to know that she's pretty lucky, but she was also pretty smart. And she obviously had a will to live and a drive to live.
Well, she sure did. And, you know, anybody hearing that story, I've got twin 9-year-old boys and can only imagine the horror of grabbing your child and fighting for your life and, more importantly, fighting for your child's life. And she managed to do that. And we're all grateful for her survival. And like she says, the almost randomness of who survives and who doesn't and how one copes with this extraordinary awareness that one second, one way of flow of the mud could have been her. And as it turns out, I'm sure she knew so many of the people who were lost, and she's got to grieve for them even as we feel relief in her own and survival and that of her child.
Yeah, well said. And of course, Amanda Scoriance is thankful and praising the people that rushed in to help her and her 5-month-old son. Those people, I think, are exemplary of what we're going to talk about here in the next segment on The Commute with Carlson. And this is the story out of suburban Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and a high school student that showed up to start the school day yesterday with 2 knives and randomly started stabbing whoever was in his path. And the story that's emerging from that unbelievable attack in the suburban high school in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, is that of heroes who responded. We're going to get into that story next as we sit in here for John Carlson. Brian Baird is over there. I'm Phil Vandervoort, the show producer, sitting in for John. We've also got to tell you about Brittany Perrault and her and my appearance tomorrow down at the Washington State Spring Fair. We want to have you get a chance to come out and meet Brittany and me. And it's all part of Military Appreciation Day. So we'll tell you about that coming up here at 5:34 as I sit in for John Carlson along with Brian Baird. And on the show tomorrow, Dino Rossi is going to be sitting in with me in studio. So the story of the heroes who responded in the wake of the stabbing attack at the Pittsburgh High School, that is next. And then coming up at 5:50 this morning, got an audio clip I want you to hear from Seattle City Councilwoman Shama Sawant. And I'll play you the clip, and I'll see if you key on exactly what I heard her say. So we'll do that at 5:50 here on Talk Radio 570 KVI.